Welcome, friends. I am James Corbett, and you are tuned into CorbettReport.com. It is currently the morning of the 26th of August, 2011, here in Japan, and I am talking once again to Kevin Ryan, and he is the renowned 9/11 researcher whose findings and writings are widely available online, and he is also currently preparing to present a report on the inadequacies of the reports by the National Institute of Standards and Technology at the upcoming international hearings on the events of September 11, 2001 in Toronto, Canada, which will be taking place from September 8th through the 11th. So, Kevin Ryan, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us today.
Well, thank you, James.
Well, Kevin, as I mentioned, you are affiliated with the September 11th hearings that will be taking place in Toronto, and of course, more information on those hearings are available at torontohearings.org, but perhaps you can start by telling us about your affiliation with the conference and how that came about.
Okay, yeah, I am on the steering committee for the international hearings, and we commonly call them the Toronto hearings, but I got involved with that because we had an event here in Bloomington, Indiana last year in which we invited a couple of folks from Canada, and we started brainstorming about what to do for the 10th anniversary, and these people included Graham McQueen, a professor from McMaster University in Canada, and also Lori Manuel, who is a PhD candidate from the University of Guelph. And they presented here in Bloomington. Afterwards, we began discussing this 10th anniversary project. We, along the way, got sponsorship from the International Center for 9/11 Studies, whose director is James Gourley, a chemical engineer and an attorney from Texas. And also, we picked up another steering committee member. His name is Adnan Zuberi, a Canadian student. So we've been working quite hard for a number of months trying to put together these hearings, which are going to present evidence that the U.S. government's official investigations are seriously flawed and have failed to describe the events of 9/11. We're going to try to single out the most weighty evidence and make that known publicly, and especially present it to a distinguished panel of people who have the ability to judge whether or not the investigations that the government did were satisfactory, and whether or not, for example, they could recommend something going forward in terms of pursuing maybe a new investigation or some other recommendation they might have. But basically, we're going to submit records from eyewitnesses and expert witnesses over a period of 4 days, and this is at Ryerson University in Toronto. And each of these witnesses is going to sign a declaration that what they're presenting is true to the best of their knowledge. And hopefully, we're going to use this period to kind of engage the public on the 10th anniversary and emphasize the fact that there are still so many unanswered questions about 9/11, and we really need to get to the bottom of what really happened.
Well, there's certainly little doubt about that. So are these hearings being structured as a court trial type of basis, or is it like an international tribunal, or how are you basing the structure of this hearing?
Yeah, it's not analogous to a trial. It's more like a grand jury hearing. And so we're presenting evidence in such a way where the panelists can simply decide whether there's a prima facie case that that there's the official investigations are not satisfactory, that in fact they did not describe the events of 9/11. It's not a trial in that we're not going to pass a verdict of any kind. We're not looking to pass say someone or some party is innocent or guilty. And we're also not going to present every side of every issue. We're not trying to cover the entire gambit of every unanswered question of 9/11. We're trying to focus in on the best evidence that we believe has the most consensus, and in that way, get hopefully objective and unbiased distinguished panelists to give us some recommendations. We're going to write a report at the end. The report is going to be based on the recommendations from these panelists, and it's going to be final edited by the sponsor of the hearings, James Gourley, the attorney from Texas.
So what is the goal of the Toronto hearings? What would you ultimately like to see coming out of this this conference?
Well, I hope that we're able to collate evidence, the best evidence together, and preserve it, and get one step closer to presenting the case that there really needs to be an impartial international investigation into what happened on 9/11. And it needs to be international because really what happened on 9/11 is not at all limited in impact to the cities of New York and Washington, D.C., and it's also not limited in impact to the people of the United States. It's really impactful to the entire world, and everybody has a stake in finding out what the truth is behind what really happened. So we're trying to break this open. We're trying to take a step outside of the United States, although we're still going to be close. Toronto is actually relatively close to those areas where the attacks occurred, and within easy traveling distance for most Americans. So at the same time, we're going to try to have an international atmosphere where, for example, we have panelists that include a man who is an honorary member of the Italian Supreme Court. He's the honorary president of the Supreme Court of Italy. And Fernando Imposimato is his name, and he's presided over quite a few very well-known cases, including the attempted assassination of Pope John Paul, some mafia cases and kidnapping cases and so forth. We have a distinguished psychologist, a professor emeritus from Canada. We have one of the most well-known scientists in Canada, Richard B. Lee. We also have an American professor emeritus from the University of Tennessee, who was, among other things, a member of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and so forth. We have a very good panel we believe is going to be impartial and objective in taking a look at this evidence and providing recommendations for moving forward in terms of getting towards the truth.
Well, that is certainly exciting. So tell us about some of the other witnesses who will be presenting evidence to the panel and what types of evidence that will be presented.
Okay, yeah, the schedule includes 4 days. As I said, we're going to begin on Thursday, September 8th at Ryerson University again in Toronto, and we're going to begin with kind of a general statement about what we believe is wrong with the major reports. We're going to include also some comments from a 9/11 family member, Lori Van Auken, who has recorded a personal statement for this purpose. We have Professor Lance DeHaven Smith coming from Florida State University to talk about 9/11 in the context of what he calls state crimes against democracy. So this is a fairly new term, but he'll be able to explain to us what he has meant when he coined that term. And David Ray Griffin, a professor from California, will go over the problems with the 9/11 Commission report as he sees them. I'm also going to testify on the first day with regard to the National Institute of Standards and Technology and their report on the World Trade Center. And then we're going to move into day two. We're going to have a witness on the air defense failures who is still yet to be confirmed, although we believe that is wrapped up. It's kind of a personal matter until that person can confirm. We have an eyewitness to the Pentagon event. We have Professor Michelle Shostakovsky from Canada, who's a well-known leader and in the truth movement. We have Paul Zaremka talking about insider trading. Richard Gage will be there. Then on day three, we're going to have a whole day of testimony related to the World Trade Center, including Graham McQueen and his groundbreaking work on eyewitness evidence related to explosions. David Chandler from California, who did some very good work in getting NIST to kind of admit that the Building 7, the third building that fell on that day, did fall in free fall acceleration for a period. We're going to have John Cole, who's done some great experiments with thermite and other experiments with regard to the World Trade Center. Niels Harrit, as well, a professor from Denmark, is going to talk about the incendiary explosive residues found in the World Trade Center dust. And then the last day is, well, we'll wrap it all up, but we'll have Peter Dale Scott talking about 9/11 and the deep state, Lori Manuel talking about psychological resistance to alternative accounts to 9/11. Senator Mike Gravel will be there to talk about state deception in the past and going forward. You know, Mike Gravel read the Pentagon Papers into the national record when they were originally brought out. And then we're going to have final remarks by a 9/11 family member. And we'll have remarks throughout by the panelists, as I discussed, and by two moderators who are going to guide us through the whole process. The moderators include Professor Michael Kiefer from the University of Guelph and Professor Matthew Witt from the University of La Verne in California. So we think this is going to be a really historic event, a careful and objective look at the evidence, and hopefully we're going to make a real difference in moving forward with an international look at the events of 9/11.
Indeed. Well, that is an absolutely stellar lineup of people presenting evidence there. So that should be absolutely fascinating. And you yourself, of course, will be presenting on the inadequacies of the NIST reports. Would that be both the Twin Towers and WTC-7?
Yes, absolutely. I'll be presenting on both of those reports as they came out in at different periods of time, and they do have different sequences of events within them. So we're going to get into the detail of that as well. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, how long do you think each presentation will last?
Well, it'll be, depending on the subject, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. We like to control the length to some degree, but with anything less than 45 minutes, it's really hard to give a thorough review of any given subject. You know, for example, on the air defenses, you know, there's quite a few things that we could talk about, including, you know, whether or not jets were scrambled, where they might have been scrambled from, you know, when these flights came in and impacted these buildings or otherwise were destroyed, and whether or not there was sufficient time to intercept them. So there's a lot of information on one given subject, and 45 minutes is kind of a minimum, and an hour is probably what we're hoping for as a maximum, although it may go slightly more than that in one or two cases.
Well, I certainly understand, as someone who produces an hour-long audio podcast each week, I understand how 1 hour is barely enough time to really begin presenting one of these subjects in detail. So I understand there's going to be an incredible amount of information being packed in. So I myself would love to be able to attend, but unfortunately I'm here in Japan. But for those who are able to actually go to Toronto to attend these hearings, how can they secure tickets for these events?
Well, you can go to the website, and it is torontohearings.org, as you stated earlier, and there is a tab for attendance where you can go and you can make a $200 donation to attend all 4 days. And that's our current option for attendance. That may or may not change in the last few days of the event, but we have sold quite a few seats through these donations, and so those are filling up quite quickly.
I can imagine they are, certainly. So if you buy a $200, if you make a $200 donation and you secure your attendance for the 4 days, would that be a reserved seat, or is it just first come, first serve for each hearing?
Well, it's not an assigned seat. It's a general admission seat, but it is reserved. You will have a seat in the hearings, the arena for the hearings. So, you know, there's no problem if you've paid your money. You'll get a response from the person who coordinates that, and be confirmed that your attendance will be reserved.
Excellent. Well, very exciting. And as I say, I won't be able to actually physically attend this hearing. For those who won't be able to attend, what would the options be for trying to follow the hearing online? Would that be possible?
Yeah, in fact, we are planning to have a link to a broadcast channel and stream the hearings for people who can't attend personally. That actually has not been set up yet, but we do believe it will be available. Obviously, it has not been tested out yet as far as that goes, it may actually be day of sort of testing, but, you know, it will be an opportunity, I think, for people to view some of the hearings, if not all of them.
And the hearings will be professionally recorded so that there might be a DVD or something later?
Yes, that's right. We have a professional group who is making a DVD of the hearings, and DVDs will be available for purchase at some point after the event. I don't know exactly how long that will take.
All right. Excellent. Well, as I say, very exciting stuff. So I certainly hope that people will at least go to torontohearings.org to check into it for themselves and to investigate whether they're able to attend these hearings or if they can at least watch them online. But I will certainly be doing my best to watch them from here in Japan. So Kevin Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you, James.